What's up, NFL fans? This is Danny Kelly. I'm joined by Jackson Bevins, and you're listening to Deep Balls and NFL Picks Podcast. This is week three. We're trying to get back on track after a tough week. I think everybody had a tough week last week. There were 10 Vegas underdogs that won, and I actually ended up going 2-14 straight up, which I think is a near mathematical impossibility. But I managed to destroy all my credibility and in one fail swoop, but luckily, one fell swoop. It was a fail swoop as well. Luckily, Jackson did well. He finished, what did you finish? 7-9 this week?
I did well relatively. Vegas went
Right.
6-10. I went 7-9. It's not
Okay.
a week I'd hang my hat on, but given how it went down, seven might have won an office pool or two this week.
Yeah, it won Dave Sue's. I know that he told us earlier this week that he won seven and he'd already beaten everyone else in his group by Sunday night.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah, anyway, we're going to try and get back on track. I still stand by a lot of our analysis, and the NFL is just weird, but let's just
Early in the season too. I mean, we're dealing with unknown quantities, and week two is a trap week. I went back and looked at my previous results in past years. And if you're new to the podcast, one of the reasons that Danny asked me to do this is I've had a lot of success picking games straight up, finishing in the top 2% nationally on ESPN's pick 'em every year I've done it. And I knew that I had had a 7-win week at some point before, and sure enough, it was in week two, about 3 years ago. And I think it's because it's really difficult after one game to know how much stock to put in that first performance versus what you think the team's actually going to do on the season. And so I think that week two is kind of a trap week, just the way that it sets up.
Yeah, it definitely was for me. But we forge ahead. And Jackson's now 18 and 14 on the year. He's in the 89th percentile. He's 11th in our NFL Pick'em group for field goals. And if you haven't joined that yet, we'll put a link on this. And it's the NFL, it's deep, NFL, what is it? Deep Balls Field Goals, I believe it's
I
called.
think it's field goals, deep balls.
Okay, yeah. So search for that on ESPN. You can join even if you've been doing a different league. That way you can play against us as we go along and kind of make it a little more fun if you're a listener of this podcast. I am now 14 and 18 on the year in 63rd place in the 43rd percentile of everyone picking across the nation. And hopefully improve on that after this week. But let's just go ahead and get into the games.
I do just real quickly, I want to give a shout out to Tommy Lee Jones Frown.jpg and Maury Povich
Yeah.
for leading our group with 22 correct picks. They both got 13 right in week one and 9 right in week two, which is extremely impressive. They are in the top 10th of the world in terms of ESPN's Pick'em groups. Top 10th of a percentage, sorry. So
Yeah.
congrats to you guys for kind of carrying the flag for the group.
Yeah, that is impressive. Nine wins last week is pretty impressive. They must have been some kind of savant in picking those games. But anyway, let's get into the schedule this week. First up, we got Washington at New York Giants. This is a pretty interesting game to me, I think, actually, because Washington's been a lot better than we, I think, thought, and they beat the Rams last week, and then obviously the Giants, they've led both of their games until they kind of blew it in the fourth quarter and in both. So I kind of like the Giants a little bit, but at the same time, obviously they've kind of dropped the ball in the fourth quarters in both of their games. So who do you like in this game?
I think with these two teams, we're talking about two of the most poorly run teams in the current NFL. And that makes it really tough. One of the tenets of my gambling philosophies when picking games is, in the case of two bad teams, pick the home team. I think that that gets magnified even more in a short week. I don't think either of these two teams will be very good. I think they've both shown in years past and early this year that they can be good for two or three quarters in a game. But neither of them really put together complete games and haven't in a while. And in that case, I'm going to go with the home team, the Redskins, or excuse me, the Giants here, simply because that short week for the road team is so difficult. And I don't know that Washington is good enough to overcome that. The thing that does impress me about them is how well they have controlled the clock and run the ball in both of their games. We all know that Alfred Morris has been one of the more successful running backs in the NFL since he's been drafted. And their rookie out of Florida this year, Matt Jones, has been sensational. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry, had 123 yards last week. In fact, got more carries than Alfred Morris did.
Yep.
And with Kirk Cousins at QB, you know, he went 23 and 27 passing off of the run. That's a really nice game. So, and that was against the Rams, which most of the listeners, I assume, are Seahawks fans, very familiar with that defense. So, you know, Washington's got some things going for them, but, you know, the Giants have been really close, as you mentioned, to beating two good teams, let it get away late in the games. I think they've played better overall than the Redskins have. The fact that the home team on a short week, I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah, and I'm taking the Giants as well. I like all your points. I agree with those. I think this really, for me, did come down to kind of the tenet, like you said. Two bad teams, you pick the home team. I don't necessarily believe that Washington is I'm not going to call them a pretender because I think they've looked decent, but I don't think they're as good as, you know, I don't think beating St. Louis makes them, you know, like a team to look out for necessarily. But that said, they've been kind of, you know, overachieving a little bit so far, particularly based on what we expected. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm picking the Giants. I think they've got good weapons and they can score and depending on how Eli's looking, they can score the ball. I'm actually picking the Giants as well. And I think that the home thing is kind of just the difference in this. I think the 3.5 line kind of tells the story. You just give half a point to the Giants and then give them 3 points for being at home. So that's my pick. What did you think of St. Louis, or I should say the Steelers at Rams? This should be an interesting one, kind of gauge how good the Rams are, particularly at home. Who do you got in this game?
I've got Pittsburgh, but I'd have to think about it for a long time. I think the Rams' best game beats the Steelers' best game. However, I think the Steelers are more likely to come close to playing their best game than St. Louis does, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Rams are just so wildly inconsistent. I think we mentioned it last week, but you know, last year they won 5 games by double digits and lost 5 games by double digits. And I think they're the first team in NFL history to do it and in the same season. And we saw it. They beat the most successful team in the NFL over the last 3 years in the opener and then lost to one of the least successful the next week. So yeah. They're difficult to predict. They're not a particularly good home team, 3-5 at home last year. Pittsburgh's not a particularly bad road team. They were 5-3 on the road last year. And you know, the Rams are going to have to score a lot of points to beat the Steelers, and I'm just not sure that they do it. So it's a close game. Pittsburgh is a 1-point favorite in this one, so it's essentially a push, and I think the Steelers do it.
So I picked the Steelers as well. It's going to be really interesting to me because, as Joe McAtee over at Turf Show Times put it, the Rams play the cushion of death. They play so deep and so soft. On defense that, you know, kind of it's an interesting matchup because that's Pittsburgh's game. Like last week, I think they hit, 4 or 5 passes over 40 yards against the
Niners. Awesome. They were one of my favorite teams to watch. I spent most of my time talking about why the Rams won't win, but there should be some talk about why the Steelers will win. And you brought up a great point. They just take their shots, and whether you hit them or not, the leverage is so far in favor of when you throw it deep, if you're not throwing into double coverage, of getting a penalty or a huge completion, or at least showing the defense that you're going to take that shot. When you're taking 6, 7, 8 deep balls in a game, I mean, it totally changes how the defense has to play. Le'Veon Bell is going to be back. I see Pittsburgh taking this one.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is with Le'Veon Bell back and then with Antonio Brown, I think Antonio Brown's going to wreak havoc underneath. He's obviously a deep threat as well, but I think – his ability to run after the catch is so ridiculously good that the Rams playing that soft, you know, cover 3, like cover 2. I think he's just going to kind of have a field day against them. And I think that same with Le'Veon Bell, I think those two guys in that pass offense, like if Ben's happy to take the underneath stuff, I think that they're going to chew up yardage all day. And I think that's going to be the difference. So that's why I picked Pittsburgh. Moving along, this is another good game, and I had trouble picking this one. Also, it's two close teams, and kind of I like both teams, especially after kind of seeing what they did last week. San Diego at Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 2.5 at home. So that kind of tells you that this is a close matchup. What do you got in this game?
I have the Chargers winning. I don't know what to make of Minnesota just yet. They looked completely clueless against San Francisco. Looked better against Detroit. Not great, but better. But Detroit hasn't looked good this year since the first quarter of the season. Mm-hmm. So, man, normally if teams are close like this, I tend to lean towards the home team. But in this one, I think that San Diego just has a better sense of who they are, which matters a lot early in the season when you're figuring out your personnel groups and all of that. Minnesota still looks like a team that's adjusting, and Teddy Bridgewater's been really, really inconsistent so far this year. So I do have San Diego and winning. I think they've got the weapons to score enough points necessary to beat Minnesota, which won't be too many points. I think if they score 21 or more, they're good.
Nice. And I picked this is the first one that we differed on. I picked Minnesota. I picked San Diego on the road last week against Cincinnati, and Cincinnati beat them. I think that San Diego looked pretty good regardless, even in a loss.
I agree.
But I kind of, for whatever reason, I kind of like Minnesota in this game. I like the Adrian Peterson factor a lot. I think Minnesota can grind it out on the ground with that. And I think Teddy looked a lot better last week. So that kind of like, I think that the real Minnesota really kind of showed up last week as compared to what week one. And again, I mean, obviously we can kind of get blinded by what you see in any given week. But I'm kind of riding the Minnesota high after last week. They look better to me. They're kind of living more up to the hype for the preseason hype. So I'm going with Minnesota in this one. And you know, the factor of the home factor, I think, was big for me because I actually really like San Diego. You know that. But it was kind of like the whole thing, two good teams, you know, cause it's whenever you take two bad teams, you take the home team. It was almost like the same with this. It's like two really good teams. I like them both. I'm just going with the home team on this one. Moving down the line, we got Tampa Bay at Houston. This is more interesting than I think we would have thought going into last week. But Houston's still favored by 6.5 at home. Can guess where you went with this one, but who'd you take?
Yeah, I took Houston. It's interesting. I think that you don't really know much about very many teams, honestly, until near the end of October. And, you know, outside of maybe five teams at the top and five teams at the bottom, it's going to be really difficult over the next month to determine who is good and who isn't. I mean, look at some of the 0-2 teams that we have right now. Think about what your preseason expectations were for the following teams. The Baltimore Ravens, the Indianapolis, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New Orleans Saints, the Houston Texans, the Seattle Seahawks, the Detroit Lions. Like, those are – most of those teams I – figured would be in the playoffs, and one or two of them will be. So it's just so hard to really look at how a team has performed so far. I still tend to lean and weight what I thought about the team going into the season a little heavier this early on. And with that in mind, I am taking the Texans at home. I would probably take the Texans in Tampa Bay as well. Mm-hmm. I do think that they are a better team, but I don't think they're as good as Hard Knocks made them look. And I think that they're going to have a hard time winning eight games. But even if it's only seven, this will be one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, to add to your point about you don't really know, we still don't know who teams are. And I think that's really, like, you know, it's readily apparent. But the other, like, you mentioned all the 0-2 teams. Another stat I saw this week was over the past five seasons, there's been three teams in every season that start out 2-0 and then miss the playoffs. So if you think about teams, there's been three teams each year, yeah.
Wow. So well, there's some ripe candidates, honestly. I mean, there's some teams at 2-0 that you wouldn't have expected. Carolina, the Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
Yeah, you got Atlanta.
And then the Cowboys, they're 2-0, but, you know, throughout Romo and Dez for the next 2 months or something like that. So,
yep.
So anyways, that kind of just, to me, that reinforces your point in both directions. I think, obviously, after 2 weeks, that everyone will quote the stat that only 13 or 12% of teams that start 0-2 end up making the playoffs. But at the same time, I think if you start 0-2, there's a historical precedent that, you know, things can go south pretty quickly as well. So yeah. It's a long season. At the end of the day, I also picked Houston. I think with Tampa Bay's O-line issues, and they're starting a rookie left tackle, I believe, right guard, and, you know, putting J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney up against that is going to be interesting. I think by the end of the game, we're going to have seen Jameis Winston make a few too many mistakes. And as we know, turnovers are huge. And so I think that the Buccaneers are going to turn the ball over too much to win the game on the road in Houston. And that was kind of how I based it. I'm not super high on Ryan Mallett. I'm not really high on Houston's offense in general. But I do think they have a good defense. So, that's going to be the difference in the game for me. Moving down the line, we got another interesting matchup here. We got Philly at New York. I think, as you said earlier, if you would have told me before the season that Philly would be 0-2 and New York would be 2-0 and favored in this game, I would have told you you're a weirdo. But here we are. And, you know, is Chip Kelly's magic wearing off? Do you still have belief in Philly?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they're a mess on offense right now. I mean, like, I thought they were going to score, you know, 550-plus points this year. I really thought they were going to take a shot at being the best offense in the NFL, and instead they might be the worst. And yeah. It's just wild, you know. I think DeMarco Murray didn't get over – like, at one point he was on a negative rushing yards for the season, like in the third quarter of their last game.
Yeah, that's insane.
And Jordan Matthews has been dropping balls, and Bradford looks lost when there's pressure.
Right.
You know, it's not the quick hitting, up tempo, keep the defense on its heels, wear them out Eagles that I think we all kind of expected. And I thought Philadelphia was going to end up in the NFC Championship game this year. So, I'm not giving up on them yet. I still think that they're a true talent, 6 or 7 points better than the Jets. And I'm counting on that. I am taking Philly on the road, but the Jets look a lot better than I thought. Their offense has been good. Brandon Marshall is playing like peak Brandon Marshall. You know, Fitzgerald.
Fitzpatrick. I'm looking at that right now.
Has looked really good so far, just doing what he needs to do. Chris Ivory's good running back. And then Todd Bowles might be turning that defense into a monster. Yeah. I mean, they have absolutely caused mayhem on both of their opponents so far. So if Philly doesn't get that identity locked down this week, it could get ugly the other way. But I am counting on just superior talent from top to bottom and what I assume is superior coaching giving Philly the win.
Okay. This is another good one. Perhaps we're going to have another divergent week this week. I picked New York in this one. Here's my reasoning. I think Bowles, like you said, Bowles is turning this offense into something fearsome, I think. And having Revis back there kind of, you know, takes away almost half of the field. So they can really do a lot of it. Yeah, and he looks like he's always looked. So you can really do a lot of interesting things with that. And one of the main issues for Philly, like you said, has been pressure. Sam Bradford's been awful in the face of pressure. And the other problem they've had, and they haven't been able to run the ball, is because they're getting penetration. Their offensive linemen aren't doing the job. A lot of their running is east-west. You know, they do like these sweep plays or, you know, I forget what they're called. But it's essentially, you know, it's like the read option, but all the way wide. And what's happening is they're getting a lot of disruption and penetration on that, and plays are getting blown up in the backfield. It's taking too long to develop. I think New York's personnel for that is actually really good.
Yeah, I agree.
Front. I think they're going to give Philly problems all day. I think Philly's kind of snowballing a little bit right now. And if they start 0-3, things could get really bad. I thought before the year the Jets' offense was going to be a dumpster fire. Even with Geno, I mean, obviously, I'm not too high on Geno Smith. And then when they lost him, I was like, okay, so their defense is really going to have to carry them. But we were watching the game the other night, and mm-hmm. I was actually pretty impressed with the offense. Patrick is who he is. But like you said, Brandon Marshall is a freaking stud, and he can make things happen. They have
that touchdown that he had. I mean, he like three dudes at the 5-yard line and got hit by two guys right away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that a lot. I think Brandon Marshall is a game changer. It still kind of pisses me off that the Seahawks didn't really go get him. And then, I don't know what's going on with Derek Decker. He got hurt in the last game. I haven't checked to see if he's playing, but I like him a lot. I just think they have some weapons on offense that they can actually, score points this week. They can run the ball. They've got that kind of power offense, the power running offense that kind of wears you down. And then again, I just think, honestly, their defense is so good with Bowles and with the pressure packages he brings and things like that. I think that just based on what we've seen from Sam Bradford so far, I just don't trust that he's going to get it done.
And I thought he would really thrive in that offense.
Yep.
He may still. But, one of the things that keeps me picking a team like Philadelphia, even if the recent track record doesn't support it, is you have a team that can put a game away when they're ahead, but you're also talking about a team that is never out of it if they're behind. Mm-hmm. Philly can still score in a hurry. You saw it in the opener against Atlanta when they were just way, way, way down, and then boom, 3 scoring drives in a row, and they're in a position to win it. It can happen really fast. If the Jets get down, I don't have that same confidence in them to be able to score 2 or 3 times in a row really quickly, flip the field fast, and come back. And so when you have a team that isn't terrible defensively but is really good offensively or at least very explosive, I tend to lean towards those teams because they're never out of it. Whereas a team that relies on getting a lead and controlling the clock, if they fall behind, it's really tough for them to come back.
Yeah. That's a good point. And that could be a huge factor this week. The other thing that we should talk about is Philly's special teams last year were the best in the league. Their return game was really, really good. And they've kind of failed them this year. They had the block punt last week, which ended up being a big, swing and probably was the difference in the game. And then I want to say week 1, they also had a big screw up. I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
Well, they rushed their field goal. They mismanaged the clock for that game-winning field goal and ended up like rushing the unit on, and kicker didn't really get set what they were going to do in that situation.
Yeah. So that's kind of the X factor in this game. I don't think that'll be the same in this game. I think, there's a reason they were number one last year. I think they'll probably bounce back. So that could be a big factor this game.
Let me ask you this, Danny, before we go to the next game. If the Eagles had won, if Cody Parkey makes that kick and the Eagles win week 1 and they're 1-1 going into this game, would you be more likely to pick them?
Yeah, I would. I think I probably would have chalked up last week as a bit of an anomaly.
Isn't that crazy? So yeah, it's like 2 weeks later and the outcome of one play is swinging a pick.
Yeah. But I mean, they just looked so inept last week.
They did. They did.
And that's like, recency bias or whatever it is. It's just kind of what have you done for me lately? I just was not impressed last week, especially when they're playing, against the Cowboys who are not known for their defense particularly. Mm-hmm. And then they were playing without Dez and Romo and they still really couldn't get it done. So that was kind of what I based that on. Obviously, divisional games are always a bit weird. And that's a big rivalry. So I'm not counting out the Eagles right now, but I just think they feel like they're on the ropes a little bit. And I just think the Jets are riding a high right now. And I think they're really confident. And I think they have the defense to really kind of screw up what the Eagles want to do.
Yeah, I agree there.
So that's kind of, it's going to be this game actually, the more that we talk about it, it's going to be one of the more interesting games to watch on Sunday. That's one of the early games. So definitely want to be checking that one out. So you picked Philly. I picked New York. Another difference. Let's move into the next game. This is a NFC South grudge match between the Saints and the Panthers. That's in Carolina. I'm going to guess you're one of the Panthers here, but what do you got?
Yep, I took the Panthers. especially with Breeze being questionable.
Exactly.
The offense hasn't looked very good, even with Breeze. They look like they don't really know who they should be running it through. Ingram looks good. I do think they'll be better with a fully healthy C.J. Spiller. I think that, you know, C.J. Spiller has become one of those guys, people will talk about him like Darren McFadden, like, oh, yeah, he was good in college, but injuries and just never got going in the pros and whatever. Listen, when Spiller's been healthy, he has been an exceptional running back. Yeah. And like a Jamal Charles type running back. And if he doesn't have to carry that offense, I think that, you know, he can be really a huge weapon for them. But he's not that yet. You know, he only played 7. And the Saints have never been a good road team. I see nothing on their roster that makes me think they'll start now. And the Panthers may be getting addition by subtraction. A lot of people counted them out when Kelvin Benjamin went down. And, you know, they don't have D'Angelo Williams anymore. And a bunch of unproven receivers. And there's a thought, well, they're just not going to be able to get anything. But what it's done is brought back old Cam. I mean, rookie year, 15 rushing touchdowns and however many passing touchdowns and 400 yards in games. That Cam Newton was back last week. And if you didn't see his touchdown run, go watch his touchdown run right now. That Cam Newton is one of those players that can win a game by himself. And they've been trying to make him more of a conservative pocket passer, whether it's for longevity reasons or whatever. But he's a guy that can win a game. And the Saints aren't a good defensive team. And I could see Cam just going nuts in this one. So I do have Carolina winning. I think they win by a touchdown or more. And I think this could – I mean, I think the Saints are looking at a top five pick next year.
Yeah, I picked the Panthers as well. I mean, the other thing is, like, last week the Panthers won, and I don't know if anyone – Seahawks fans would be interested in this. I don't know if they saw this. I'm sure a lot of them did, but he actually had a pass over the middle to former Seahawk Kevin Norwood that bounced off his hands and was intercepted, like, in the end zone. And it was, like, uncontested. It just kind of, like, just missed. And so they probably would have won by even more. But, yeah, that Skycam front flip touchdown was really awesome. I'm going with the Panthers on this for the obvious reason that, you know, the Saints kind of look like a dumpster fire at this point, even with Breeze. Breeze is kind of questionable. He might not be 100%. He might not even play, obviously. And so there's just too many things going on there, and they're playing in Carolina. I just think the defense there can control the game. And so to me, that was a pretty easy one to pick.
We're talking about a 3-0 Panthers team.
Yeah. Like,
and the thing is, given the state of that division, it's not hard to see them winning 7 or 8 more after this one. Like, the Panthers might be back in that playoff contender discussion before we know it.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Seahawks will play the Panthers twice again this year. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Moving down the line, this is kind of the gimme game of the week. The Jacksonville at New England. What do you got?
Yeah, I got New England at home against Jacksonville. I mean, you take them 10 times out of 10. Just pick a year from the last 15 years, and you're taking New England 10 times out of 10 in this matchup. But this year especially, yeah, I know it's early and whatever, but there is no team clicking, certainly offensively, as perfectly as Tom Brady's Patriots are. You know, again, projections this early don't mean a ton, but he is on pace for an NFL record in yards and touchdowns, something like 6,100 yards and I think 62 touchdowns or something like that. Just absurd numbers. And, okay, yeah, he does it against Pittsburgh. Lots of teams pass on Pittsburgh. But Buffalo is a good defense. They were a borderline great defense last year. They completely shut down Aaron Rodgers and have given good quarterbacks fits for the last couple of seasons. They passed for 466 yards against them and put up 40 points.
That was the most that Buffalo's ever been passed on.
Yeah, that's – I mean, that's –
466 yards, that's the most ever.
And that team can play defense. So, I mean, if this is the second coming of the post-Spygate, fuck everybody New England Patriots, they could hang 60 on the Jaguars in this game.
Yeah, that's a little scary. But, yeah, that was easy for me as well. I picked New England at home. You know, not even all that, like all that aside, like I would pick England, New England anyway. I think Jacksonville is kind of a plucky team this year. They'll be fun to watch. They'll probably upset a few people, but I don't think it's going to be this game.
That would be something.
Yeah, that would be. That would be like a last week type of thing to happen.
Yeah, it's serious.
But moving on, let's go to Cincinnati at Baltimore. This should be an interesting one. I think Baltimore's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde a little bit. They on offense, they were good last week. They sucked week one on offense. And then on defense, they were really strong week one, and then they were really bad last week. So what are they? Are they going to put it all together? Are you know, both sides going to show up for this game? Obviously, Cincinnati is a good team. They're 2-0. They've looked pretty darn good. But Baltimore's actually a favorite at home here by 2.5. I imagine, you know, that's just kind of the home thing. What do you got in this game?
You know, I am taking the 0-2 team in this one. There's a lot to like about Cincinnati. I think I talked about it a little bit last week, how I think that they're a Super Bowl quality roster aside from Andy Dalton. Yeah. And when good Andy Dalton is there, they can make a deep run in the playoffs. And so far it's been good Andy Dalton. So if that happens again, if they keep clicking the way they have been, yeah, I think that they could win in Baltimore. But Dalton has been historically bad there. For whatever reason, he does not play well in that stadium. Last couple of games, he's thrown 7 interceptions combined in the last 2 games in Baltimore. And so they know what he likes to do. It seems like they know how to take away what he likes to do. I think the thing that's changed for Dalton this year is the emergence of Tyler Eifert as another kind of bailout option and another guy that can really stretch a defense out. But, of course, they got the 2 really talented running backs. So, you know, the Bengals are a good team, but I think the Ravens are actually a better team. And, you know, I think that they've had a little trouble getting the offense going, but I think Forsett's the perfect type of running back for a Mark Trestman offense. I think Flacco is still very good. They got a really nice emergence from Crockett. That defense looked great in week one, like you said. They looked a little lost last week against to the Jaguars, right?
Raiders,
right. It was Miami lost to the Jaguars. Yeah, they gave up 37 to the Raiders. So, you know, I think that that's an anomaly. I'm still buying more into the Ravens that I thought we'd see this year than the Ravens we've seen so far. I think in this game, history's on their side. So, and I just don't see Baltimore as an 0-3 team, honestly. So I've got Baltimore.
Yeah, it's funny because last week we were kind of dismissive of the Baltimore Raiders game, and I kind of feel good that I said, well, let's hold on, because the Raiders, for some reason, tend to give people trouble at home. They did that last year a couple times as well.
Yep.
For whatever reason. I mean, obviously they've got a good young quarterback. They've got some weapons on offense, and then they're developing some interesting stuff on defense. I actually like what they've done there, but getting back on point, I got the Ravens in this one as well. This was kind of a tough pick for me, but I think at the end of the day, Baltimore is better than what we've seen. And it's kind of like how this. It's kind of reminds me of what's going on with the Seahawks. I think they're better than their record shows so far. I think Baltimore is going to put it together at home this one. Their defense and offense are going to show up on the same day, and I think that, like you said, it's just been weird for Andy Dalton in Baltimore over the years. It's this divisional like rivalry has just been an interesting one. So I picked Baltimore in this one. A lot of the reason is because they're at home. But a lot of the reason too is just that I just like Baltimore more than what they've shown so far. So hopefully, you know, they'll get it back on track this week and kind of figure out what's going on. Moving down the line, we got a stinker of a matchup in Oakland at Cleveland. Who do you got in this one?
I've got the Browns. I actually think the Browns defense is a really good defense. They're not a great one, but I think that the Raiders are going to score by throwing. You know, Derek Carr has definitely shown a willingness to chuck the ball. I think Cooper and Crabtree are really good. a really good combination and will be for a couple of years. Crabtree looked great last week. I got to hand it to him. I think Cooper is the real deal. But Cleveland is really well set up to take that away from you. Yeah. They've got a very good secondary. Joe Hayden's one of the best corners out there. They get a lot of pressure. It is a good defense. And I don't see the Raiders being good enough on both sides of the ball to compound that. Now, we haven't seen Cleveland be able to sustain a drive yet this season. Then when they've scored, it's been on 60-yard Travis Benjamin touchdowns. So I don't think that's sustainable. I think we're going to see a low-scoring game. And let me check the over-under on this one. They've got 42. Yeah, so that's the lowest predicted score in the NFL. Second lowest predicted score this week, besides Houston, Tampa Bay, which makes sense to me. So it'll be low scoring. The lower scoring the game, the bigger each score gets, which leads to a bigger chance of an upset. Not that Oakland winning would be a huge upset, but I am going with the home team on this one.
Yeah, I am too. I think I feel like I'm a little shell-shocked after last week. Honestly, yeah. I just kind of decided to be more conventional. And like you said, the kind of the maxim, two bad teams go to the home team. That was my thinking on this one. I don't have a strong, I wasn't like looking up in-depth stats on this or anything. I think Cleveland is probably better than a lot of people give them credit for. I think because last year, I mean, during late in the season, they were like tied for first place when everyone in that division had the same record. I think obviously the quarterback position is a big question mark. They're going with the veteran this week, I believe. Didn't they name what's his face the starter this week, McCown?
Yep. Yeah, they're starting what's his face over Manziel this week. Which, I mean, who knows, right? It's not like that gives us any clearer picture.
Right. But at the end of the day, I went with the home team. And that was basically all of that. It was a simple reason. I like Oakland in the future. And I think, like you said, they're kind of building some cool things on offense. Derek Carr is a gunslinger. To kind of just echo what you said, I like their secondary in Cleveland. I think that kind of aspect will be a little bit taken away. And it'll be more of a grinded out road, run it, you know, down your throat kind of game. And I think Cleveland's set up better for that. So that was my pick. Another interesting game, I guess. So you got Tennessee at Indianapolis. It's a divisional matchup. The Colts have looked atrocious so far. I don't know what's going on there. Last year, obviously, they were a finalist in the AFC. I don't remember if you saw them, that they put a banner up in their stadium that said AFC finalist, even though
I saw that. That was
embarrassing.
That was something. Did you Photoshop it to say Monday Night Football finalist? Did you see this?
No, I didn't see that. It's really good.
I wish I could give credit where it's due because I really like that.
That's really funny. But so this one, Indy's on the road. Tennessee, you know, they're up and down, of course. They destroyed the Buccaneers week one. And now I'm even racking my brain. Who'd they play last week?
Cleveland,
that's right. They're 1-1. Kind of still don't really know how good they're going to be. This game is, I guess, kind of interesting in the fact that it's a divisional matchup, and those are always kind of interesting. But Indianapolis has owned the South for the last, like, several years. I think they're 15-1 against AFC South over the last couple of years. So what do you got in this one?
You know, similarly to how I feel about the Eagles, it's how I feel about the Colts. I have them being an AFC finalist again this year, or before the season I did. I didn't expect them to look this bad. They've got a lot of shiny parts, but you really got to question how the interior of that car is built at this point. That said, this would be a precipitous fall from how they've been the last couple of seasons to being, if they're really as bad as they've looked. Again, they're a team that we've seen a bunch of times, like Philadelphia, be able to erase a deficit. They can play – they're the type of team, and we've seen it. I mean, just since Andrew Luck's been drafted, we've seen probably 8 to 10 victories where they've been bad for 2.5 to 3 quarters and still won.
Right.
And that's the value of an offense that can do that, is you are never out of a game. I mean, what was it, a 38-point or a 35-point comeback in the playoffs against the Chiefs that 1 year, a couple years ago? So if they inside their division, then I'm really worried, because as you mentioned, they've completely owned it, which says, I think, as much about their division as it does about them. But I see Andrew Luck looking better than he's looked.
Yeah.
He has faced two very good defenses, but he hasn't looked like a good quarterback trying to beat a good defense. He's looked like a lost quarterback trying to beat a good defense. But there was some fluky stuff, too, in that game, in that loss to the Jets. Adam Vinatieri capped off your worst week in football fan history.
Yeah.
By doinking a 29-yard field goal.
That would have won in my fantasy league, by the way, if I was listening.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So just sidebar, Danny's favorite football team, the Seahawks, lost. His fantasy team lost by 2 when all he needed was 3 points from Vinatieri.
Adam Vinatieri field goal from 29 yards.
He misses it. So he lost that, and he goes, misses his first 9 pick'em games, which, by the way, is a 1 in 512 chance.
Nice.
Finished 2-14. So anyway, good. An aside from Vinatieri there, he's just was kind of the cherry on top of your weekend.
That was a great
week. There's some really fluky stuff in that game, you know. That's 3 points for the rest of the season, rest of Vinatieri's career. That's 3 points on that kick. For the rest of Frank Gore's career, when he takes a handoff from the 2 with no one in front of him, he's going to score a touchdown, not drop the football.
Right.
Those are two total outlier things that are compounding some real existing problems. But if those go the way they would the other 99 out of 100 times, the Colts probably win that game. So I'm not bailing on them yet. I do think they beat a not great Titans team here. If they don't, like Philadelphia, I'll have to start reevaluating. But I do have the Colts in this one just because they have a superior, talented roster.
Yeah. And I picked the Colts as well. I think that's, you know, very well said. I think I don't really have anything to add. I don't want to talk about the Colts.
Were you tempted to pick the Titans in this one?
Not really, no.
Okay. I was a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game, and it's always interesting because, for, you know, vanity reasons or whatever, the Seahawks and the Colts have kind of had this rivalry because everyone, you know, kind of worships Andrew Luck. He's the golden boy. He can do no wrong. He literally can do – I mean, this week people are kind of coming down on him, but at the same time, you know, he basically can play with immunity. Like, no matter what he does statistically, people still think he's, like, the best quarterback in the world. I think, and so Seattle's, you know, obviously kind of the opposite with that, because Russell Wilson's stats are really strong, but really like low volume. So people don't buy Russell Wilson as a, you know, elite player, and he's short and he was a third round pick. But so there's been sort of a manufactured rivalry between these two teams. And so it's kind of, it's always interesting watching Indianapolis play. Last year I did the power rankings for SB Nation all last year and then the year before that. And I think Indianapolis fans kind of hate me because I always, for whatever reason, I just don't rate them as highly as some other teams. I don't know why. It's nothing to do with the Andrew Luck rivalry. It's just, I just don't think they're as complete of a team. I think they're too dependent on Luck. And so last week and the week before, that kind of showed up. Like, they were dependent on him and he really did not show up in those games. And he doesn't have a team around him that can kind of carry him in the case if he doesn't have a good game. That's kind of the difference, I think, between him and the Colts and the Seahawks and some of these other teams in the NFC West and the AFC North. They have built-in margin for error, if that makes sense, with really strong defenses, really strong run games, ways to win games if the quarterback is a little bit off. But at the end of the day, I don't think Tennessee's good enough to beat the Colts still. I think the Colts are more of a, you know, a good team than they've shown. They're kind of like the Eagles in that sense. I think there's still more talent on that team than they've kind of been able to put together. So, but yeah, so, and you know, take away couple of fluky plays, and they're still beating a pretty good, what looks like it to be a pretty good Jets team, you know, on the at home. I don't think that Luck is going to have as many issues with the Titans defense as he did with the Jets. So, right. You know, because of all those things, I picked the Colts. But I think you know, your description of everything kind of, you know, it was well worded, and I agree with everything. So moving down the line, we got Atlanta at Dallas. You know, our guy, Dan Quinn, down in Atlanta has had the Falcons off to a strong start. Their defense is flying around. You know, their offense is obviously, their offense was never really a worry. He kind of inherited a really good situation there. They have a top 10 quarterback at worst. And then they have, you know, a top three receiver in Julio Jones. They've got, some other weapons on offense, and it looks like they're developing a little bit of a run game, though. Tevin Coleman, I think, got hurt last week. But who'd you get in this game? You know, this is obviously in Dallas without Romo and Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I definitely, with Romo and Bryant, I would take the Cowboys without much hesitation. Without, I don't know where the yards and points are going to come from. Mm-hmm. The backfield situation isn't really settled. Their best receiver is Terrence Williams. Witten is going to try and play through two sprained ankles MCL injury. I don't know where the offense is going to come from. And Atlanta has looked pretty good on defense for the most part. I think that they've got some real talent in that secondary. Dan Quinn obviously knows what he's doing. The offense is there. And I do think Atlanta wins. Very, very, very difficult to not choose a 2-0 team at home, especially when you think that they're a more talented team. But just given the state of the rosters right now, Atlanta more or less fully healthy, and I do have them winning this one.
Yeah, I do too. I have Atlanta winning on the road. Again, it's kind of the same thing. It's Romo, Dez are out. Witten's banged up really bad. We still haven't really seen much from their run game. And I like Atlanta's defense. I like them. I was reading about them a little bit this week, and they kind of have been talking about how Quinn's new system has really revived and rejuvenated them. I actually think they had some good pieces before last year anyway. They were the worst defense in the league last year probably, but they still had some pieces on that defense. And they've taken it from a two-gap, wait-and-see, reactory defense to an attack you, punch you in the face, you know, pass rush, move you off your spot type of offense, type of defense. And that's going to be interesting to see against Brandon Whedon. So I just don't think Dallas can keep up with Atlanta in scoring. I think with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones really connecting so well early on, that's going to be the difference in the game. And, you know, obviously Dallas is already kind of low on depth in their secondary when they lost Orlando Scandrick earlier in the year to an ACL, I think it was. So yeah, they're kind of depleted anyway. I think that Atlanta, for that reason, is kind of go in there and run over them. But it'll be a really interesting game, you know, because I got to give Dallas some credit. They've looked better than, you know, you'd expect without Dez and without Romo. They beat Philly last week without those guys. And so you got to give them some credit, but I just think Atlanta's going to be a little too much for them this week.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Julio Jones, and I just want to take a moment to kind of appreciate what we're seeing from him. This is one of those few guys in NFL history that a team has basically traded their draft for, and it is so hard to justify that. Mm. And he's out there doing it. You know, fantasy numbers can be really misleading when you're trying to predict real football production. But fantasy numbers can be very indicative when you look at them on a per opportunity basis. And here's something just to chew on when it comes to appreciating Julio Jones. So far this year, he's averaging 2.4 fantasy points per target. Okay, what does that mean? Well, he's on pace for 208 targets this year. If he were to keep it up, that's a 501 point fantasy season. For a little perspective, Demaryius Thomas 41 point fantasy season. So he is operating so far this year like a 1.5 Demaryius Thomas's.
That's insane.
That is how good Julio Jones is playing right now. He is he and Antonio Brown are the two least guardable guys in the NFL. Maybe Gronk too. And that is, I mean, you can double team him, you can roll a safety over the top of him. It just it doesn't matter. He's got 22 catches on 26 targets. It's basically, you know, it's an 85% completion target. It's not like they're just a bunch of really short ones either. I mean, they take their shots with him. It's a team that when you have a connection between a quarterback and receiver like you have with Ryan and Jones, they can beat anybody.
Yeah. Well said. And that's interesting stat or fantasy stat for you. That's and that was – Demaryius was the leader last year, you said?
Antonio Brown was actually okay. Antonio Brown had okay. Let's do this. So we're talking 501 point pace for Julio Jones. That's PPR. Last year Antonio Brown's had 386, and that was like the greatest season by a receiver. You know, I mean that's like that's peak fantasy production. Mm. And you know, Julio Jones is averaging 8 more points per game than that. So it really is. Is he going to keep it up? Not likely at this rate, but. I'm just saying that to show how insanely productive he's been with the opportunities that he's getting, even though he's getting a ton of opportunities.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be another one to watch. Actually, that's another early game. Then we can move on to the afternoon games for Sunday. We got San Francisco at Arizona. This is an NFC West matchup, obviously. It's going to be an interesting one. Who is – or which San Francisco are we going to get in this game? Who do you have in this game?
I got the Cardinals. I legit think the Cardinals have – I think they've been the best team in the NFL so far.
Yeah.
They've won, is it, either 8 or 9 straight now with Carson Palmer as their starting quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald, who everyone kind of buried last year, had 3 touchdowns last week. Him and Carson Palmer are a great combination. His numbers with Carson Palmer last year in the 6 games with him were very good. That David Jones,
David Johnson,
their third string running back, just became the first player in NFL history to record a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a return touchdown in his first 2 career games. Okay. And he's their third running back. They've got some weapons there. They've been blocking well. Their defense has been very good. I think Tyrann Mathieu is like going to go down as one of the great value picks of the last few years. Mm. They can really play a lot of football. I think they're a major, major threat to Seattle's run of division championships. I think they'll leave this one 3-0. I think they would beat most teams in the NFL this week. The 49ers are definitely one of those teams that they'll beat. It's even if the 49ers that you know beat the Vikings in week 1 show up, I think they lose by 10 in this one.
Yeah.
The Cardinals' best game is so much better than the 49ers' best game. I truly believe that, and there's no reason to think you're not going to get the Cardinals' best game right now.
It's crazy how easily the Cardinals seem to be able to score these days.
It is crazy. They got John and Jerron Brown who like it's crazy how open they get downfield.
Yeah.
Like wide open.
Yeah, and I went with Arizona in this game as well. This was a little bit of a no-brainer for me. I just think, like you said, Arizona is one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the NFL right now. You know, it'd be really fun to watch them go up against, like, New England or something right now.
Yep.
That would be a hell of a game. Yeah, their defense, they don't seem to have missed too much of a beat over last year. Obviously, they have some different personnel there, but they're still very aggressive. And, you know, we saw that last week where he picked off Jefferson picked off Cutler and they got a special teams score. They're kind of like dangerous in every aspect.
Yep.
So, you know, they're a real interesting team. You know, I think right now they're first in DVOA.
They are first in DVOA right now, which still way too early to draw too much from it. But that matches the eye test.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's still the question of can Carson Palmer stay healthy all year? But, I mean, when he's healthy, they're freaking kind of an intimidating team. So
they are an intimidating team. And, they're, you know, you're talking about them being good in all 3 aspects of the game. Here's their DVOA rank so far. offense number one, defense number eight, special teams number two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're a complete team. And they kind of – I just like the way they play. Like, I've talked about this before the season, too. Arians kind of has that outlaw, like, biker kind of persona. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, he's just kind of, like, doesn't give a shit. And he's like, yep, fuck it, let's go for it kind of thing, you know? And, like, I think his team – teams tend to take on the persona of their coach.
Yep.
So they've definitely kind of taken on that persona. They're, like, not intimidated by anyone, think they can play with everyone. And, you know, obviously they're putting
– kind of reminds you of a team.
Yeah, it actually – I was going to say that. I mean, you put two and two together, but it, they do kind of remind me of the Seahawks of, you know, 2013, 2014. You know, really just freaking good team. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with them this year. I can't wait for the Seahawks to play them.
Yeah, me too.
But speaking of the Seahawks, they got Jimmy Clausen and who else? I guess Alshon Jeffrey might be out. And he's still an iffy. He's up in the air right now. But a depleted Chicago team playing in Seattle. Cam Chancellor's back. It's a good mojo. It's a good way for the Seahawks to get their mojo back, kind of beat Chicago at home soundly. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, I was expecting Seattle to touch down to 10-point spread in this one, fairly comfortable, especially with the return of Cam Chancellor. You know, and obviously we're not going to see full speed Cam Chancellor, but just they'll be better with him than they've been without him, at least from a communication and intimidation standpoint. But this is a 15-point spread. That's huge. That is the biggest spread in the NFL this season. Mm. And we're talking about an 0-2 team. And it just reinforces, and I subscribe to that. It's very easy to see Seattle winning this game by two touchdowns against Jimmy Clausen. It's something where, like I was about to say, it reinforces what I was saying earlier, where it's still September. I am still going to lean heavily on my evaluation of a team before the season as opposed to what I've seen so far, barring major injuries, whatever. Seattle is still more or less the team that I thought they were going into the season. I knew 0-2 was a legit possibility for them.
Yeah.
The Bears have looked, or at least for six quarters, looked better than I thought they would. Without Cutler, they were an absolute mess. No reason to think they'll be anything different. Seattle could really easily cover this 15-point spread, and that is saying a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I went with the obvious one here. I picked Seattle. I, too, think they're better than what they've shown. I think Cam Chancellor getting back is going to energize them, kind of galvanize them.
Did you see that Richard Sherman quote on Cam Chancellor? About the lion and the dogs?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I can't remember exactly what it says. But
that's like the craziest, most awesome thing I've ever heard one teammate say about another teammate.
Yeah, and you know, like, while Cam was gone, I think players were trying to kind of, like, you know, brush it off. And I think even, like, fans and analysts are trying to brush it off. Like, you know, he's not that important. But I think he definitely you can see there was, like, a tangible something just missing, or intangible, I should say. They didn't have their, you know, they didn't have that intimidating factor. They didn't have their – you know, swagger or whatever it is.
Here's that Sherman quote that is exactly what you're saying. He said, "We're a bunch of wild dogs until the big lion comes, and then we're bad. We're some bad men with Cam Chancellor around. He just brings that menacing force. We're a bunch of wild dogs, and a pack of wild dogs is pretty dangerous. But a lion running with a pack of wild dogs, that's something."
Oh man, that's good.
That is just, you don't hear quotes about teammates like that.
Yeah. I mean, it tells you like what his teammates think of him. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we as fans hear a lot of stuff, but you know, obviously the whole like questioning his leadership and everything because he held out and blah, blah, blah. You know, we're not in that locker room and kind of see how he leads. Like if anyone's been a part of a team, for whatever reason, there's always one or two guys who people just like gravitate to. And it sounds like Cam is that guy. And like, if things get like bad, or if like you start facing adversity, you tend to lean on those guys because, you know, they eliminate doubt, or they just kind of set the tone or whatever, you know?
Sounds like Cam is that guy for the Seahawks, and that's what I'd heard, you know, just kind of off the record from different people, is that he definitely, like, runs that locker room. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. And it, you know, the way he didn't come back. He wasn't, like, humble coming back. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, yep. Basically, fuck this. I'm going to play. I'm still pissed. I forgive you fans when I come back.
But at the same time, like, we want him to bow his head and ask our forgiveness or whatever. You ever check some of the shit that got tweeted at him?
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't hoping or expecting him to apologize. I thought it probably would have been a better PR move. But it's actually kind of funny that he's basically coming back and saying he accepts – He forgives us. I just thought that was ballsy, and that kind of puts in perspective what kind of leader he is. Like, he has no doubt in himself whatsoever.
Not at all.
And that's
not
the kind
of
thing
all.
That people gravitate to when things get hairy. Honestly, you know what I mean. So I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. Last year, the Seahawks had a couple of really iffy games on defense, and then Bobby Wagner came back, and all of a sudden they were like unbeatable. And I know Pete Carroll talked about this in his presser. He said, you know, he's not expecting that to happen, but he's kind of interested to see if it will. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something clicks with everybody, and they all start – because defense in the NFL is very, like and Earl Thomas talked about this. Everyone's tied on a string. It's very much – it's not mechanical and robotic. It's very, like, you know, improvisation – communication, like, you know, just sight adjustments and everyone being on the same page. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that happens in a game. And it sounds like Cam is the guy who runs that. Like, even Cam was even setting up Earl Thomas in places when he sees things and things like that. So it's kind of like getting your general back on defense. So it'll be really interesting to see if that has a big impact. I'm expecting it to help at least marginally. You know, because he's such a good player, but it'll be really interesting to see if it's like a big change, like a sea change, and they kind of get back to where they were last year because of it. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I think the Seahawks should win. Obviously, if they don't win, things are going to start to look really bad for them this season. I don't think, you know, coming back from 0-3, it's extremely rare. I think there's only been like two teams that have made the playoffs when they started 0-3 over the last like 15 or 20 years. The math just gets bad if they lose this week. So I think, you know, they're going to have that sense of urgency. I don't think they're going to overlook the Bears. I think they're going to come out and kind of just play the brand of football that we've known the Seahawks to play. And I think it'll be enough, more than enough. So moving on, another really interesting game. Buffalo at Miami. Who do you have in this one?
You there? Did I lose you?
Who do you have in the what did you last hear? I didn't really say anything. I just said Buffalo at Miami. Who do you have in this one?
I am taking Miami, and the early returns on picks don't agree with me. Buffalo is getting 62% of the picks so far. It's still early, but and I totally get that. I think Tyrod Taylor is a really fun quarterback. I think that he's a good enough quarterback to win with that team. They put 32 on the Patriots last week. They put, I think, 27 on the Colts the week before that. You know, they can go out and they can score. But I do think Miami's a lot better than what we've seen so far. I was expecting them to be very good this year. I still think that they will be. I think Ryan Tannehill is – there's as big a disparity between talent and hype with Ryan Tannehill as there is with any other quarterback. I think he's good. I think he got lost in the shuffle of his draft class.
Uh-huh.
But he's good. Lamar Miller is better than what we've seen. Jarvis Landry's a stud. I think when Devontae Parker gets going – he's going to be a real weapon for them too. That defense has gotten a lot better, at least from a talent standpoint. Just hasn't really clicked yet. I think that they get it going in and win at home on this one. I think it'll be interesting to see what sort of changes, if any, Buffalo has in their defense after getting completely gouged by New England last week. And Miami moves the ball in a lot of the same ways that that New England does. They don't have to go over the top of you to get down the field. They got a lot of guys where if you give them a window, they can get 30, 40 yards on their own. And they're very good with that short passing game. So I just see Miami being able to exploit a lot of the things against Buffalo that New England did. They are at home. I think that they're probably pretty even top to bottom talent wise. So I'm going with the home team on this one, even though it looks like the nation disagrees.
I picked Buffalo. I'm sticking with them, even though they let me down last week. I think it was cool to see them come back, even though they were down, I think, 27-3 at one point or something like that. Mm-hmm. They made it into a game. I think they were within – I mean, they got to within it. Like, they could actually win the game later on in the game, and then they kind of just couldn't finish it. But I'm still bullish on their defense. I think last year, you know, they proved that they're one of the top defenses in the league, and I think – they'll bounce back after an atrocious performance, like literally the worst performance in their history as a franchise, which is insane to think about because that's such a talented defense. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's who they are. I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll be pissed about it. I think obviously Miami has reason to be pissed as well because, like you said, I don't think they're playing up to what they are. But I still like Buffalo more in this game. I think that they're more balanced. And their defense has just proven more to me than Miami's has. So that's why I'm going with Buffalo. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Like you said, that's another one of the afternoon games.
This is one of those.
Yeah,
this is one of those games that could very easily, and I'm sure you'll agree with this. You could see this coming down to a field goal and their kicking situations are in major states of flux. In Miami, their erstwhile kicker, Caleb Sturgis, lost his job this year. The guy that Caleb Sturgis replaced was Dan Carpenter, who has been one of the best kickers in the NFL the last couple years in Buffalo. He missed a bunch of kicks in preseason. He missed one last week. It's just kind of one of those games where I would be surprised if it's, you know, the final difference is a touchdown or more. I could really see this coming down to a kick going one way or the other. Vegas sees it the same way. They've given the home team the usual 3 points on this one. So that'll be really curious to see because this is one of those ones where I don't necessarily think that whoever wins this game can say that they're the better team unless it's lopsided. And if it were in Buffalo, I would be picking Buffalo.
Fair enough. I like it. Moving on to the Sunday night game. It's Denver at Detroit. This is an interesting one. You know, obviously Denver kind of got away with one last week when they recovered a Jamal Charles fumble with like 30 seconds left when they were just trying to run the clock out and get to overtime.
They were down by a touchdown with what, 40 seconds left and won by a touchdown?
Yeah. So that was one of the more crazy games, and it got my whole week of weird football started.
Yeah, seriously.
I guess I should have expected after that game that I would have a weird week. But, I mean, I think Denver – I really like Denver still. I think that their defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think that Manning actually looked better than I was expecting. You know, everyone's kind of, like, waiting for his end. You know what I mean? Like,
He was dead, and the internet had buried him in the second quarter.
Exactly. I thought he actually played well, or at least well enough, like not to be totally concerned that he's completely done. You know what I mean? Like they should put him out to pasture. I think he showed enough arm strength on a couple downfield throws. I think he had some zip on the ball. It just didn't look to me like he was like, you know, like noodle armed or whatever, like which is what he's basically people have, you know, said he's become. So this will be an interesting one. I think Detroit, they don't have an identity. They're struggling on offense. Their defense hasn't been as good as it was last year. They feel a little bit like rudderless, I guess. I don't know. Like, obviously, I think they have a lot of talent, and I like their personnel on that team. I just think they just haven't put it all together. So I picked Denver in this one. Who did you have?
I've got Denver, too, and it's – funny enough, it's because of their defense, not their offense. Offense hasn't been very good. They haven't gotten a running game going. Peyton Manning has missed on a lot of passes, notably ones that have to go more than 15 yards in the air.
Yeah.
But that defense has probably literally as much individual talent on it as any defense this side of Seattle. They might be as individually talented as Seattle is. Their corners between Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib are super legit. Yeah. Obviously, we know about Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware coming off the ends. They got Brandon Marshall, who has, you know, the other Brandon Marshall is establishing himself as one of the better linebackers in the league. That team can win a game by themselves, and we saw it last week. They forced 5 turnovers against Kansas City. They won that game. And Detroit can't get anything going, and now they might be bringing Dan Orlovsky into this game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, Stafford's getting chest and rib x-rays, and he's questionable. They haven't been able to get Golden Tate or Calvin Johnson going. They can't figure out their backfield. You know, they're splitting carries and touches 3 ways between Joyke Bell, who I think only had 3 carries last week, Amir Abdullah, and Theo Riddick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where you said they're trying to figure out who they are. That they are. The defense is trying to figure out who they are without Ndamukong Suh. You know, you plug Haloti Ngata in his place, and it's not a huge drop-off, but there was an identity there that started right over the top of the football with the Lions last year, which is the most important place in my mind to start an identity on defense. And they don't have that right now. They can't get off the field on defense. They melted against the Chargers. They never got going against Minnesota. I can't come up with an argument that I would accept for Detroit winning this game.
Fair enough.
One question before we move on to the last one, and we kind of even use it as a little transition here. I don't hate QBR the way a lot of people do. I do think that a lot of times it doesn't pass the eye test, but an interesting thing is right now the 4 lowest rated quarterbacks in the NFL by QBR are all number 1 overall draft picks.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Sam Bradford, Alex Smith, Peyton Manning, and Andrew Luck.
Wow.
So, how many of them are legit done? And how many of them do you think are going to bounce back and play like former number 1 picks?
How many out of those 4?
Yep.
Man, I don't know if Peyton will ever play like a number 1 pick again. That's kind of a vague thing. I think he'll bounce back and have a better year than his second half of last year. And I think that,
because we're really talking about like 6 subpar games by his standards in a row now.
Right. Yeah. That's, I don't know. For whatever reason, I still think he's going to bounce back. There's not a lot of evidence for that. But I just haven't counted him out yet. And who are the other, Alex Smith, Matthew Stafford, and then Sam Bradford?
Yep. No, Alex Smith, Andrew Luck, and Sam Bradford.
Oh, yeah. I think Andrew Luck's going to bounce back. I don't think he's,
yep, I do too.
Yeah, I don't think he's done or whatever, like, you know, like that. But I think he's going to definitely improve as the year goes on. I don't have as much faith in Sam Bradford. Because I kind of bought into the hype and now I'm like feeling like an idiot. You know, so it's like, I don't know. He just hasn't done anything that looked impressive so far this year in 2 games. I guess, you know, during the second half of the Atlanta game, he looked all right, but it's not like he was making some crazy ass like throws like he was in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But yeah, I think Alex Smith is good. I don't think he's ever going to be like a high octane passer or whatever, but
right.
Like he moves the ball and he's.
But you're not shoveling dirt on him.
No. What about you?
I actually think all 4 of them will bounce back pretty strong this year. I just thought that was really interesting. Like, okay, one thing to say, hey, there's 4 number 1 overall picks near the bottom, but for them to be the 4 worst, yeah. You know, when you've got some serious no names out there starting games right now, is pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting stat. So one final game to talk about is Kansas City at Green Bay. I actually think this is another really interesting game. That's the Monday night game. You know, Kansas City, strong defense. They have more weapons on offense this year than they did last year with, Jeremy Maclin and then the emergence of Kelsey. I can't remember his first name off the top
of my head. Travis,
yes. kind of those are their kind of their two go-to guys, and they've got some other stuff going on, obviously, with Jamal Charles and you know, Niall Davis and everything. So they've got some interesting weapons. I don't know if they're going to be able to score as much, keep up with Green Bay in scoring, but you know, the Kansas City to me kind of feel a little bit like Seattle light with in terms of their. I don't think their offense is as good as Seattle's, but I mean they're similarly. Like their identity is similar to the Seahawks.
They are built very similarly. No, you know, receivers don't scare you. A tight end that does, a quarterback that can manage and then make plays when called upon, a game-breaking running back, good pass rush, good secondary. There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah. So in this game, I actually ended up going with Green Bay just after seeing what they can do, even against a really strong pass rush. You know, just kind of going with Aaron Rodgers on this one. It's hard to beat him at home. It's in prime time, so they're going to be jacked up, I think. And yeah, I went with Green Bay. Who'd you pick in this game?
I've got Green Bay too. You know, really the only quarterback in NFL history to put up the type of numbers in one stadium that Aaron Rodgers puts up in Green Bay is Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. Aaron Rodgers is flawless at home. He is unbelievable. For whatever reason, he just is so different. And I say he because I really do credit him in the way that I credit, you know, the Colts' success so largely with Peyton Manning. You got to do it with Green Bay. I think there's more talent around Aaron Rodgers than Manning had in Indianapolis for a lot of those years. But, you know, they were without Jordy Nelson, who's been all-world the last five seasons. And they haven't missed a beat at all. And there's no reason to think that that's going to stop now. It's Green Bay is legit. They are really, really real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So we got, let's see here. How many did we pick differently? We got the two different, the differences so far. You picked San Diego. I picked Minnesota.
Yep.
And that it?
No, I think we disagreed.
You picked Miami, I picked Buffalo.
Yep. You have the Jets, I have the Eagles.
Yep, there we go. There's the other one. So, yeah, I think those are the three.
Yeah, I think that might – I think just three this week after five last week. You're only four games behind me, so you get a chance to close the gap there.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just hoping to get more than two this week. That's kind of my goal. Yeah. I like to set my goals real low.
that's good, man. That's good. You got any against the spread picks this week?
You know, I don't. I was going to lean on your expertise this week and kind of let's just go with that. I like I said, I'm so shell shocked from last week. I didn't even bother looking at the fucking lines.
Yeah. You know, this every week going to give you three or four picks against the spread. As you know, I'm not a huge fan of betting every game against the spread just because there's too many variables. But every week you can find a few to feel good about. So if you're looking for a three-team parlay, this week I'm going with Pittsburgh covering the 1 point at St. Louis.
I have that as well, yeah.
I have San Diego winning at Minnesota as an, you know, upset, so that's a natural cover. That's a natural cover there. And I've got Philly winning at the Jets, which is a natural cover as well. The Jets getting 2.5 points. There's a couple others I feel good about. I like Jacksonville as a backdoor cover against New England, which backdoor cover simply means that they spend most of the game losing against the spread and a garbage time score closes that. But you know, things to look for when you're looking to bet against the spread is look for upsets. One, that's a natural cover. You actually have a little bit of margin for error. So upset, take that as a cover, obviously. And anytime you see 1 or 2 points in favor of the team that you're picking, pick them to cover it because most games are decided by more than 2 points. So there's kind of a couple of clues for folks who are looking for a way to go about choosing games against the spread. But those are the three that I'm going to give you this week.
Awesome. So make sure to join up on our Pick'em League. It is in the ESPN Pick'em family as field goals: deep balls. And we'll set up a link on the website here at Field Goals. Follow me at Field Goals on Twitter, and follow Jackson at Jackson Bevens. That's JacksonBevens. Make sure you get in your picks before the Thursday night game goes down. And yeah, thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll do a little bit better this week. Obviously I really don't have anywhere to go but up. So that's good.
Let me put it this way. I'll be very impressed if you don't go up from last week.
Hey, I'm embracing last week. I think it's actually kind of cool to be like such an anomaly. I couldn't find anyone who got two picks, like literally.
Let's see in our how many folks we have in our group these days. I'm very impressed with the participation we're getting. We've got
nine.
We got 112 people. Got a couple zeros in there that folks haven't.
Didn't fill out,
but let's see, in week two.
There was one. All right, I feel a little bit better.
There was a one. The white boar went 1-15. And then you had a couple of friends, Too Furious and Spencer, got two wins with you as well. So, you know, you've got enough for a tea party.
There we go. All right, well, that's good to know. So anyways, yeah, thanks for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions, go ahead and throw it down in there in the comments at Field Goals. This will be up on the iTunes, the Deep Balls RSS feed for iTunes. And yeah, just let us know if you have any suggestions or anything like that. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.